Hello and welcome to the Finally Quit Porn podcast. Today I'm joined by Mary Porras, my mentor and coach. Worked in addiction since 1990. Welcome on the show, Mary. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing all right. I'm a bit tired, to be truly honest with you, because it's quite late here, but I've had a really good day. I went for like such a long walk and I loved it because it was just nice to be back in nature again. I've kind of been in the office most this week, so yeah, it was good.
I want it so bad, but it just will not stop raining here in Portland, Oregon. But you know, it's one of the things we love about it. But right now I am sick of it. It's just
what, one of the
rain,
things
rain,
we...
rain, rain, rain.
You say one of the things we love about it. I just know you're absolutely hating it right now, though, aren't you?
Well, it's because once spring comes, it's so green here. I mean, it is like when I first visited Portland, Oregon, I remember flying in and looking out of the plane window going, oh my God, it's so green down there. So yeah,
but
without the rain, we wouldn't be as green as we are, you know?
That's so, true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminds me of addiction a bit. Just get it in there straight away. It's like without the discomfort of those cravings, you wouldn't have all the mental freedom on the
other
side.
There you go. Right? That's right. Willingly accept the temporary discomfort of the rain.
Yeah. And there's green on the other side. It's like the clarity on the other side. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to talk a little bit about why therapy doesn't work when you're trying to quit an addiction. And I think we should start off though by just exploring like where therapy is really, really useful, because don't get me wrong, therapy is an amazing thing. I think so many people nowadays feel really isolated, alone, disconnected, and they just need someone to talk to. And also it's so good to have somebody else who actually has like those qualifications and a real good insight into mental health to help you. And I think it's a brilliant tool, and I don't want to knock it at all in terms of life in general. I think it's a good thing. It's just when it comes to addiction, what we found through the clients that we've spoke to who have been going to therapy for X amount of years is that it doesn't work for addiction. So, yeah, Mary, do you want to jump in and kind of explain why it doesn't work for addiction?
Yeah, I kind of feel too like it can be good support. Like you say, for people that really, we are kind of isolated more than we used to be, and just to talk through and get like a different perspective and somebody to like reflect back things from their past. Cause a lot of people do have a lot of trauma that maybe is repressed and can come up in therapy or whatever. But as far as addiction goes, I feel like when in changing neural pathways, when you're in like having the urge to engage in an addictive behavior, that happens. I mean, you can't schedule that to happen in your therapy appointment, right? It happens all the time out in the world. So unless you've got a therapist that's on call 24/7 to be able to help you in that moment, that kind of falls short right there as well. And one of the most important things too, is that there's the junkie thinking, which we've talked about ad nauseum, right? It's like the junkie thinking is so critical to the process, and therapists aren't necessarily trained to identify that junkie thinking. I mean, I think maybe some of them, they can recognize it, but as far as like directly being able to talk back to the junkie thinking and even recognize it, I think that falls short in that way too.
You know what's interesting about that? So I qualified as a Samaritan volunteer, and you had to go through loads and loads of training. There's a bit of an application process and stuff, and I was talking to my friend, actually he came on this podcast like a few months back, and he's training to be a therapist. He's doing a degree at the moment in England. And yeah, he was sharing what he learns about in becoming a therapist. And it was like person-centered therapy. And it sounded so, so similar to my volunteering work in terms of the tools he's trained in, which is mostly about listening, right? And reflecting back and understanding and empathizing and having compassion and all of those sort of things. And sort of saying things so that the client can maybe gain a different perspective on their problem, right? And all of that stuff's amazing. But when it comes to addiction, you're going to have all these junky thoughts and feelings that are totally irrational. And like, if I think about my volunteering work, there's no way that I would be allowed to actually question in the way that you do, like question somebody's junky thinking, because it'd come off like I'm arguing with them. And then the thing is, like, you actually need to argue with this addictive thinking.
You need to confront the addictive thinking or forget it, you know? You know, interestingly, I have one of my nicotine addicts that I'm working with. She had a lot of stuff come up when she was able to stay off smoking, which is normal, but then she's going to go to therapy. So I wrote down every junkie thought that I heard her say, and I said, at least take this to your therapist and show her that I said these are junkie thoughts. Because if a therapist isn't specifically trained, I'll tell you what, the addictive mind can be so shrewd, they can fool anybody. They're definitely fooling the addicts indefinitely, you know. And but if someone's not very, very specifically trained to identify the junkie thinking, the addict can fool the therapist, you know. They fool doctors, they fool their family members, you know. It's very shrewd, so it takes a lot of training. And the other thing is, you know, we've talked about is that questioning spin where addicts get in, and it's a complicated, I shouldn't say complicated, it's just a more complex way that the addictive part of the mind tries to get people to relapse, which we deal with in our class.
Can I just like set the sort of scene for that a little bit more, give that a bit more
Yeah,
context?
sure,
So
go ahead. Yep.
this is like you're on Instagram, you see a fit model, you're like, shit, have I had a relapse? What do I do now? And then you end up like kind of scrolling a bit more to distract yourself from those feelings of shame or guilt or anxiety around whether you've relapsed or not. And then you end up actually having a proper full-blown relapse. And like
Yeah.
this is one of the least talked about but most
Yes.
prevalent ways that the addicted part of your mind will get you to relapse. It will
Yeah.
put you into this spin, the
Yep.
tornado, this helplessness state
Yeah.
where you end up just relapsing because you don't want to
Yes.
feel anxious about whether you've relapsed or not relapsed.
Yep.
But how's a therapist really going to actually explain any of that? They don't know about it.
Yeah. It takes a whole class, you know, and I discovered this spin working with food compulsives, but it applies directly with porn addiction as well. And what happens is the spin, I mean, once people start spinning and they get into that whole helplessness, trying to answer these questions or be mindful or whatever they're trying to do, they just start spinning out, and then they relapse to get out of the crazy feelings, right? And then even one of the clients said to me, he said, now I feel he was in the spin, and I could identify where he was going with it with his questioning. He says, well, I feel like I have ADHD, which is now exactly what is going to happen if you're in with the therapist and they don't know how to deal with this spin that's happening. That, well, oh, my client, this is client's ADHD, right? So now then it can give them now prescription medications which handle ADHD. I have a woman that I work with who is she's got her whole family, they're all food compulsive, her and her husband and her son, they're all food compulsive, and they haven't dealt with it. And she said to me, oh, we're all ADHD, our whole family's ADHD, and they put them all on Adderall, which is really addictive. So yeah, so basically the spin, which is created by the addictive part of the mind, is identified as ADHD because it mimics it. But it's not, you know, it's like it's not this. Now you have this condition. Now you have this disorder. Now we need to medicate you and talk about helplessness. My goodness, you know, now you're just disordered, right? They're calling smoking a nicotine addiction a tobacco disorder now. You just have this disorder. So, I mean, that just implies it's just something that it's just the way you are innately. So now it just implies helplessness, which the addictive part of the mind is going to grab on. Okay, you're helpless. Let's go, right?
So yeah, talking about like the tornado and the spin, like I started to identify myself sort of creeping towards this tornado a bit this week. You know, I was on TikTok and I was like, oh, I've been on this a bit too much. Then I started questioning myself, like, am I falling into a compulsive behavior here? Just had like a quick chat with Mary. You know, I spoke to her. I said, okay, I felt like I was on TikTok a little bit too much this week. I don't know what to do about it. But I think what was really important, what you said was, you know, you don't want to like just go and delete TikTok because then you're basically giving all your power to TikTok. And that's what most people do is they're like, right, I'm just gonna like push porn away. I'm gonna put these like blockers in place. So I'm gonna, you know, delete social media or whatever. But it's like, that's so disempowering. You know, you want to
Right.
make this choice from a place of I'm the one in control. I know what's right or wrong. I know whether I've done something too much or I've done something too little and identify
Yeah.
that addicted part of your mind trying to get you to spin. And so,
Pull
you
out of
know,
the spin. Pulling out of
you
the spin is critical, because, and one really important thing to remember is, again, I've said it a million times, that the addictive part of the mind wants you in a state of helplessness, but helplessness requires your consent. It's not something that's just going to happen to you, but once you have a disorder, it is something that just happens to you out of your control. So yeah, and I think we talked about the addictive meds, and then the traumas, right? People have trauma, yes. But the thing is with trauma, not everybody has trauma. And while traumas or difficult childhoods or whatever, they can contribute to you being susceptible to addiction. They don't drive addiction. You can heal your traumas, which you're not likely to do in therapy if you're still in the addiction, because it just muddles everything. You know, once you get clear of an addiction, you're much more likely to get to the root of your trauma and heal from that. But heal, even if you could heal the trauma while you're in your addiction, it's not going to change the neural pathways of addictive desire and then acting on it. It's so it can be helpful, I guess, but I would encourage people, because therapy is so expensive, stop your addiction first, you know, then go to therapy and deal with things that might come up, you know.
You know what I think as well, though, is that, like, therapy, I think it is a good thing, and I think it is, like, a good investment overall, because your mental health's the most important thing out there, and it's, like, nothing else really matters, and there's all this consumer, like, BS out there now that you could buy instead. So, you know, I'd probably advocate people to go to therapy, but I just wouldn't advocate going to therapy for addiction. And it's like, you want to separate these two things out, because if you don't separate them out, the addiction can actually get worse in a way. And that might sound crazy, and you're going to be like, what are you on about? Or like something like that. But let me just explain it real quick. So how this addiction works is you have a cue. And like, I reckon some people listening to this have probably heard of Atomic Habits by James Clear. He talks about something called the habit loop, which goes cue, craving, response, reward. Now, it's basically how addiction kind of works in a way with habits. You know, it's just like you have the cue, then you have the craving, then you have the response, then you have the reward, and then the reward means that the cue in the future creates a really strong craving, because something called delta phosb, which is a transcription factor, changes the brain. But anyway, the problem is, right, is that most people are dealing with the cue, and the cue is like the trigger. So it's going to be some kind of emotion. Most of the time, it's going to be like shame, loneliness, anxiety, stressed out. You're feeling angry at yourself. You're like feeling like a failure or something like that. And so they'll go to therapy and they're like, okay, I'm going to deal with the cue, because the cue creates the craving. And that might seem really smart, and it will get you results. It will actually get you to quit porn for an amount of time, because you're going to have less cravings. And so you're going to start to think, oh yeah, I'm making really good progress here. I'm not actually relapsing as much as I used to. I'm going to continue going to therapy. And this is the problem. That's great if you want to do streaks and stay addicted. But if you want permanent freedom, we have to go to the craving. And the craving isn't going to be solved in therapy, but the cue is, because the cue is the shame, loneliness, anxiety, or the emotion, or whatever it is. And therapy is probably going to reduce those by doing all kinds of work with you, which is a great thing and it's an amazing thing. But what we really just need to understand is that in the long term, if you're still relapsing, then as much therapy you've had, you're still addicted. And so you may have got it down and maybe you think you're free, but if you're still worrying and thinking about when your next relapse is going to come, you're not truly permanently free. And so I guess this podcast nowadays is really for the guys who want to be permanently free. If you're kind of listening to this and you're like, well, I don't mind kind of having relapses now and then and like being spun out and being in a state of helplessness now and then this podcast isn't really for you. If you want to moderate your porn use, maybe that's a different story. If I don't know. What do you think, Mary? Can you even moderate porn use?
I think good luck. Good luck. You're not ever going to be happy with it. If you're already watching and listening to this podcast, you already are not happy with porn. But, you know, it made me think of something when you're talking about going to therapy. If you go to therapy when you're still in your addiction, right? And you start to stir up some of those old emotions and old feelings. I can imagine like feeling really emotional and like, oh my God, starting to remember stuff from childhood or traumas or whatever. And then thinking, I can't wait to get out of this therapy appointment and go engage in my compulsive behavior, because now you're stirring stuff up and you don't have a way to deal with the desires. So it's even more kind of backwards, right? I never really thought of it that way before, because I've always thought, deal with your addiction, then go to therapy if stuff comes up. Because if you go to therapy and you're stirring stuff up with no way to deal with the urges, yikes, right? So then the other thing I feel like is super important is
Wait,
that,
Mary, can I just interject before you make
yeah,
your second
sure.
point?
Go for it.
So the last time I went to therapy was probably about 3 years ago, I reckon. And do you know how long it took me to relapse after that therapy session? I reckon it was about 10 minutes. Got home,
Yeah.
relapsed. Okay.
Okay.
So I used to work for a guy called Craig
Yeah.
Terra, and I really like Craig. I think he's an amazing guy. He works. He's the founder of something called the Mindful Habit, and they
Yeah.
use all kinds of practices to help people get out of porn and sex addiction. I used to work for him. I did his marketing for like maybe a year
Yeah.
or two.
Yeah.
And he said that he went to therapy for like his porn and sex addiction for about 10 years, and it didn't work for him. So
Yeah.
he went and set up something else that does work for his clients, and that's amazing. So, I mean, that's
Yeah.
another option as well. Like, there's so much help out there to quit addiction. It doesn't have to be me and Mary, there's other people as well.
Yeah.
But I would just really recommend getting help for the addiction if you're like going through this instead of going to therapy. I just don't think therapy works.
Yeah, and the kind of the, just to wind that up or wind this up. So what I see is when people are stuck in an addictive behavior, they are stressed out, they are anxious, they are depressed. You know, so the thing is, if someone's anxious and depressed, what's the solution? The solution, go to therapy, right? But the thing is that they're like, again, not everyone has trauma, not everyone has some big void in their life, not everyone's had, you know, just basically unhappy, but it's the addiction that is unresolved that they can't find an effective way to get mentally, permanently mentally free from, that is depressing and causes anxiety. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to do this thing to myself again. I'm going to keep engaging in this behavior that is causing me so much suffering and I can't stop doing it. Now, that is the most depressing, anxiety provoking thing you can go through. But so you go to therapy, now they're going to treat you for anxiety and depression, which again is probably going to include some kind of addictive medication. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, sometimes it does. Sometimes I just know a lot of people in therapy that are on addictive meds, you know. So, but still, you don't treat the addiction. And I'll tell you what, most of the people I work with, when they get free of this, their addiction, they're not anxious and depressed anymore, you know. So again, it's cart before the horse. But some people do need to have therapy once they stop literally stuffing their stuff with an addiction, right? Because it just keeps everything sort of down. And, you know, so some people need to go to therapy. It's, I'm glad there's therapists out there for them.
The other thing is just from a very, very basic, like neuroscientific perspective, if you're going to therapy, they're going to be working on like your thoughts and feelings, most likely, and probably delving into stuff that's happened throughout your life. At least that's how it sounds to me. And I've got friends who are interested in therapy, who are training to be therapists or are
Yes.
therapists, and I talk to them about it. But here's the thing, if your reward circuitry is messed up because you've had too much dopamine being released, and now everything just feels a bit like gray and boring, and like nothing's really giving you much enjoyment anymore. You can delve into the thoughts and feelings as much as you like, but it's not going to like restore your brain. It's not going to like put your brain back in the state that it should be in. So that's another reason why it doesn't work. But I mean, we should probably wrap it up here, unless you have
Sure.
anything other to add.
No, I think we've covered it. You know, again, therapy can be helpful in some situations, but when it comes to addiction, I mean, I really feel like it's the cart before the horse, and I feel like if someone doesn't really understand what's going on with an addiction, it's really misread in a therapeutic setting, you know, as anxiety and depression, and so then they get treated for that. And the addiction, which really needs the treatment, is not really being addressed. So,
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
I'd say
Okay,
that's about
cool.
it, Tom.
So if
Yeah.
anyone wants any like more help with quitting this, we've got some free training on my website now. So just go to www.thomasmolyneux.com and you can download the free training, and hopefully that will help you a bit as well. Because in that training we talk about how basically you need to focus on the urges instead of the triggers. And I'm gonna keep on saying this forever, basically, because I was stuck in this addiction for 10 years. I don't know, maybe
Maybe 10 years? I can't even remember now. It just like all seems like a blur in a way. But
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I just focus on the triggers way too much. And now I just want to get this message out there of like, you need to focus on the urges instead, because that's where the neural pathway changes actually take place. And so I want to, yeah, help people. So yeah, go get the free training. I hope it helps. All right, cool. Let's wrap it up there. Thanks a lot for listening. I do appreciate it. If anyone does want to like do me a favor or anything, you know, if you're finding these podcasts useful, then leave a 5-star review. That would be genuinely so appreciated, and it'll just motivate me to continue creating content and trying to help people quit. So yeah, thanks,
And
peace.
share it
Have
with
an
your friends.
amazing rest of your day as well. Okay, let's go.
All right. Thanks, Tom.